Hello, it is Thursday, May 6th. Big show today. New news came on the Aaron Rodgers Packers Schefter saga.
It never ends.
There's a little bit of a victory lap by us, to be honest with you, but I assume we're not the only ones that understood that this was what it was from the beginning. Obviously, if you're listening to this show, we appreciate the hell out of you, and you understand why we believe what we believe, and it turned out we were right.
So, yeah, what do you know?
I don't want to spoil it, but today's big show, massive show, good conversation. The head of the NFLPA Center for the Cleveland Browns, J.C. Tretter, joined us. A.J. Hawk, all the boys. I mean, today's a good day. Hopefully you enjoyed. If you do, please be a friend, tell a friend. If not, just act like it never happened. Let's get to this thing. We're live in Indianapolis, Indiana! Haven't done that in a long time.
It's been a while.
It's nice to know we still got it, by the way. It's in there if we need it. We are in Indiana. We're not going to fly down until after the show to beautiful Tampa. I spent, you know, 48 hours, 72 hours in Tampa last week, and I slept for about four of them. So I was okay with staying in my bed another night. We'll be traveling down there this evening. Cannot wait to get down to the FanDuel Beach House for another incredible SmackDown tomorrow night, Friday night, Fox, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's actual Fox, not Fox Sports One,
okay.
Not Fox Sports Ocho, not Fox News, not Fox 21st Century Fox.
Not FX.
Not FX.
Nope.
Not, it's actual Fox. Bunny Ears Fox. 8 p.m. tomorrow. We got a big one. Yeah! I have no idea. I actually don't know. Oh, it's a throwback show.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge show tomorrow.
Corbin Rollins tomorrow night. Are you kidding me?
No.
I saw that. Yeah. Cesaro, WWE tweeted.
Cesaro Rollins.
Oh, well, WWE Twitter's got it wrong.
No, Cesaro.
Hey, I'll pull it up right now and send it to Zeke.
You could potentially have it wrong. Because Cesaro and Rollins actually cut promos against each other and accepted. I accept you challenge. I accept. Don't be getting the. Hey.
Hey, if Corbin's
I'm telling you, that's what it said.
Listen, it's Cesaro Rollins, yeah. Just that word, my ear.
They got to work on their Twitter there because I saw that this morning.
Well, maybe the person looking at the Twitter has to work on it. But the Baron Corbin first match is going to be awesome. Okay, Baron Corbin and I were teammates at the Indianapolis Colts when he was just a football offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Big guy. We used to go out like every night together. He stayed at my house numerous lengths of time. We have a great relationship where immediately upon seeing each other, we are pretty much on the same page immediately. And whenever he is doing something, I cannot wait to hear what comes out of my mouth. So whenever you said there's Corbin Rollins tonight, not only is that wrong.
Well, they're both wrestling.
Because Cesaro Rollins is tomorrow or whatever, big deal or whatever. That's a massive matchup. It's a WrestleMania rematch, by the way. So have a little bit of respect. Have a little bit of respect for that. Actually, Cesaro got his first ever WrestleMania win. I think his first ever WrestleMania match over Rollins.
Of course.
And Rollins. So you just kind of disrespected all that. But what you did to me, you see, what you did to me on the inside, when you said Corbin Rollins, I was like, okay, Corbin, here we go. And then I immediately thought, you're a stooge and you're wrong.
Anyways, that's on me.
Yeah, it is. Let's move along. I wasn't planning. Ty Schmidt's here, Buster Connor's here, all the boys in the back. We appreciate the hell out of you. I wasn't planning on doing the Aaron Rodgers song and dance again.
No, okay? Not at all.
Hockey last night was awesome. Incredible. Hockey last night, Capitals. Rangers, one night removed from Tommy fucking Wilson taking somebody's head and jamming it into the ice and fighting another and somebody getting injured that they're out for the rest of the year and Tom Wilson only getting a $5,000 suspension with a laundry list of these types of incidents in his history. Everybody's pissed. The Rangers actually ended up firing their president and GM because the president and the GM were not on board with the Rangers owner, James Dolan, yes, from the Knicks, wanting to release a statement saying the people at the NHL should be fired for not punishing Tommy Wilson harder. So this was an entire day of promotion. Hey, this is how hockey is, okay? Hockey's one of the only places you can watch, and there's tradition from way back in the day that makes its way into the current world. Comeuppance is a real thing in hockey. Refs even believe in it, and that made its public, its national audience or its public just a couple months ago when an old ref who said, hey, I had to get one on the fucking Predators there.
I had to get you, boys.
For the flow of the game, he had to do it. It's like hockey is something where there's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of history, this is how things go. Now, that might be to hockey's detriment. I'm not not 100% sure, but for me, I am a massive fan of whenever somebody's pissed off at somebody else, they're given an area where you can go do whatever you want. Listen, hey, when two humans get into a cage and fight each other, I'm going to watch it. All right? I won't do it. Okay? I have the utmost respect for the people who do it, but I respect the fact that that's available for people to do as a living. Hockey is this incredibly graceful sport. You have to be able to ice skate, which is impossible. You have to be able to have dexterity with your hands while handling the stick. You have to have great vision, cardio. Your strength has to be there. It is an incredibly beautiful sport. But last night, six fights in the first period. Okay? Woo. As soon as the puck dropped to start that whole thing, three fights immediately for the comeuppance for what Tom Wilson did. The only issue was the Capitals and Tommy Wilson were the reason why this happened, okay? It's the reason why this fight happened. But their team is built for this type of thing.
Yeah.
They were actually probably just as excited as we were about what was going to happen in this game last night in Madison Square Garden. Tommy Wilson's not on the ice to begin this whole thing. They have another group. As soon as the puck drops, here we go. Three fights. Three go right into the goddamn penalty box. All right, so everybody's excited. Pierre Maguire, I think, was on the call, and he was, hey, boys, I think we thought this was when it was coming or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's good. Yeah, is that it or whatever? And then Tom Wilson gets on the ice for his first shift, and they're like, okay, here we go. And there was a guy named something Smith, and this son of a bitch, this unlucky son of a bitch had to be the guy who had to go fight Tom Wilson. I assume this was a decision made by the coach in the locker room, which I believe they call... Do they call it a locker room? No, I think they
locker
call
room.
Yeah. No, I think there's
the some hockey den.
No, it's like a. I don't know. I think the Canadians have something for it. We have Gumpy here, but he hates Canada. So
true.
I mean, we don't really know. But anyways, I assume in the locker room there was actual conversation. Like, okay, who's got Tom Smith? He was either like, I got him, or they're like, Smith's got him. He's like, God damn it. So as soon as Tom gets on the ice, all right, he like makes a pass. You see one Ranger guy like kind of skate away, and then there's another guy coming right at him. And the thing about Tom Wilson, everybody wanted him suspended. Everybody wanted him fined like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everybody in the NHL that isn't a Capitals fan is like, get this guy out of the fucking league. Capitals fans are like, we love this guy. He's really good at hockey.
Yeah.
He's really handsome. He's not scared to do things. He beat the fuck out of this guy.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So the Rangers do this entire, God bless your soul, Foxy, Jesus. May this Lord be with you. But he was the reason for this entire fight that the Rangers had to do this whole thing. He gets on the ice after three people already fight. He beats the fuck out of a guy. Okay, he goes into the penalty box, takes his shirt off. He's standing there. There's four wide now. Two more fights happen. They got six deep. They're standing in there talking shit to the Rangers. Like, that's not the penalty box. That's just the actual roster. That's the team after. That's the penalty box. Six people packed into that thing after fight. There's Tom Wilson smiling, by the way. Just got a New Jersey. Now, he did not finish the game. They just sent him out there. The Capitals almost did their own, like, all right, we'll suspend him for a game, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just going to be a fight every single time. They understand that's how hockey is. But I loved it. I'd assume the ratings went down immensely after Chara had a conversation. Chara, by the way, from Boston's a 6'9" guy, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just somebody that beats the fuck out of everybody. But at the end of the first period, he actually goes over to the Rangers bench, I guess, and goes, hey, we doing this again? Because I will get involved. Yeah. And it kind of settled out from there. But what a night for hockey. I absolutely loved it. Nick, this is good. I saw the hockey purists. A lot of people are coming after me because I was like, this is hockey. Hey, this isn't hockey. This is not good for hockey. It's like, tell me the ratings and then tell me what happened immediately after those fights happened, what the interest level was. And I'm not saying this happens every night, but this is what separates hockey from other top sports is that you can handle something as if it's 1925.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you need to handle it, let's handle it. Now, that Washington team is able to do whatever they want, okay? They're built to fight people.
They're built to handle it.
They do bully people. And the Rangers probably always felt like, God damn it, we got it. Why did they have to do that to us, boys? And they just send out sacrificial lambs or whatever. But that was good for hockey last night. And hockey people aren't going to say it was good for hockey. I obviously want everybody to be healthy and everything like that. But a sport that still has that, Nick, you guys got to be pumped over there in the hockey world.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what the purists say because that's the way the league wants it. They want the players to settle and they want the players to
to police themselves and handle it on the ice. And they did. You know, these two teams, now they're done playing each other for the season. Something will probably carry over to the next season. But the Rangers are going to have to bulk up if they want to battle with the Capitals next year.
Well, not just the Rangers. I think it's everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Them bringing in Chara when they already had Oshie. And they already had Tom Wilson. I mean, they
Ovechkin,
who can get after it if he has questions, will get after it. It feels like that team is one that if they decide that they want to humiliate you, they will. And you're going to have to stand up for all that's good for hockey. And what you're running into is a buzzsaw. Yeah. I think the Rangers might have won one of the fights last night, maybe. And it wasn't like a clean win. I respect the fact that they did. They went out, you know, on their shield for their guy that got treated. I love that a lot. But the Capitals all day were thinking like, yeah, we hope.
Can't wait.
Fucking bring it, boys.
Hey, I would like to see, you know how they do the tunnel shots of teams?
Ooh.
I would like to see the Capitals in there, fucker. All right, here we go. Let's get there before that game. And then the Rangers are probably just like, no, fuck.
Damn it.
Why did it have to happen to us?
I think that's the biggest criticism of it all, is because I think everyone sees, who's not a Capitals fan, they see Tom Wilson, they see him run around and do all these things he does on the ice, they get pissed off. And the league is like, well, the players will take care of it themselves. Well, the fans are like, listen, no one's taking care of Tom Wilson because they
can't.
He's feeding everybody fists.
They wanted this guy gone years ago.
Oh, yeah.
For similar actions that he's doing. The New York Rangers have been fined $250,000. The National Hockey League announced today that the New York Rangers have been fined $250,000 for their public comments on Tuesday, May 4th. Public comments of the nature issued by the Rangers that were personal in nature and demeaning of a league executive would not be tolerated, said NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. While we don't expect our clubs to agree with every decision rendered by the Department of Player Safety, the extent of which the Rangers expressed their disagreement was unacceptable. It is terribly unfair to question George Parros' professionalism and dedication to his role and the Department of Player Safety. All right, George. Hey, you win.
That's a boy, George.
You win, all right? $250,000 fine. Dolan's still the owner. The president and GM who probably told Dolan, we're probably going to get like a $250,000 fine if you do this. Don't you fuck you.
Shut up.
Tweet it out.
My money.
They're fired. What a time. Good for the NHL. Got fights. You got a little drama. Now, listen, the hockey purists aren't going to like it because the sport is awesome without all of that. But, hey, if we can get more people to watch hockey, I think that's good for everybody.
Yeah, we need what happened last night to be happening at least once a week.
Yeah.
And at least one hockey game a week. We need the boys just fucking dropping mitts and beating the shit out of each other and then playing. It's awesome.
Ty, you're going to get attacked by the hockey people.
I might. But
he's
right.
Yeah. I mean, the new team, the Seattle Kraken, they should strictly sign players who will go to war with them every single week.
So the Goons and the Protectors used to be a real thing in hockey. And then Nick says, you know, the league wants the players to kind of figure it out, but they have also put in a lot of rules and benefits to not kind of doing the old school fighting stuff, right? Wasn't fighting trying to phase it out of the game almost. They were. A couple years ago, they were trying to phase fighting out of the game completely, weren't they?
Yeah, they weren't going to straight up eliminate it, but the way they adjusted the flow of the game with the rules, and they realized they had a lot of skill in that, they could capitalize on that. So they went that route as opposed to kind of promoting the heavyweight bouts and all that. So you don't really see like the George Paroses, who is the Department of Player Safety head. He used to be a straight up fighter. 1,000 career penalty minutes.
Oh, so that's why Tom Wilson.
Weapon.
Hey, you're cool with me, pal.
Yeah.
Now, that would go to the Rangers' point of his professionalism being questioned. But
Tom can play. George couldn't really play.
But he was great at probably interfering and slowing the game down and keeping
good
the stars safe and could fight. And
great
everything,
mustache.
And everything like that. But whenever when you talk about them trying to open a game up to get a little bit more speed, I think, by the way, as a fan of hockey who has watched hockey, I think it getting faster was good for hockey. That's like one of the more spectacular things about hockey. But when you can take a trip back in time real quick and it's just like, you fucked with one of our friends, okay, well, we got to fight you now. And that is just... That's really cool. I like it. I wish more sports would be able to do
that. Yeah, and people who watch the show understand that usually when hockey gets brought up, it's a sentence, and then that's hockey talk.
That's hockey talk.
So
that's
I
a
mean,
whole podcast, by the way.
Yeah,
that's
stone hockey. Yeah, because of that, and look how long we've talked about hockey because of these fights. Like, come on, make it happen.
And by the way, I'm sorry, I did not hear you there, Zito. I have a cut inside of my ear.
Oh, no. From what?
I have no idea. I think it might have been
did the raccoon catch you?
No, it wouldn't have been a raccoon, but maybe it was Scootsie.
You think too deep of a Q-tip?
Or maybe I thought maybe I might scrape something in there, but then there would have had to been something in there.
Oh, are your Q-tips expired?
I don't know if that happens with those.
They get hard,
I'm not sure they do. Do they?
I think so.
They have that new thing where you can go in there with a
spiral camera,
like an app.
Yeah.
And you can see it and pull it out.
They got candles.
Who the hell is trying to do that?
What's that?
Who the hell's trying to do that?
Well, if you have a cut, you want
to
see
it. I want to let you know, right now I would love to do that. So I can see, is this a cut? Yeah. What is this thing going on in here? Because it does hurt. But there is, when I popped my eardrum, when I put a hole in my eardrum, no big deal. Fought a wave, fought back. And that's going to happen. You know, just like in hockey, like fights are going to happen. Yeah. And my eardrum burst in first day, maybe first minute, actually, of spring break.
Ooh.
One particular trip. So it was a rough day. It was too close to season, couldn't get it surgically repaired. So I was actually playing in stereo for an entire year. So it was very, and then it kind of healed itself and that whole thing. But my ears began to create a lot of earwax.
Yeah.
So my ear, for whatever reason, I think it was immediately happening there. So to go in and like potentially schedule the surgery, they had to clear out the earwax. And the ear, nose, throat doctor, which I forget the name, they had one of those things that they're selling now, but it was like a super high level one that had a camera on and it was on a screen or whatever. Watching it kind of, it's like oddly satisfying. Actually. Yeah. It is an interesting thing to kind of see it. And then they showed me my eardrum. They're like, yep, you're fucked right there.
Look at that hole.
Yeah, there is a hole.
It's
right
like a
there.
Grenade went off inside it, there.
About 12 to 2:30 there. That thing gets to 3. That could be a real problem. But your body should heal itself or whatever. It's like, well, I don't think it ever did. And the earwax thing has maintained the entire problem. So
you can buy that thing?
No, because it looked Mickey Mouse. Yeah. I want to get the one that the doctor had, because that thing was like a
machine.
Like an actual rig you get into?
Yeah, it was like a real thing. And he had his Splunkin helmet on, too.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Speaking of Splunkin, it is time to explore a story that has captivated the sports media.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like to do this all the time, okay? I don't like to do this all the time.
Nope.
But when it happens, you got to do it.
That's right.
Trey Lance gets drafted 3 overall. What a celebration.
Yeah.
Hey, was that not a celebration?
Yeah, it was
massive.
Awesome.
A lot of money.
That was a celebration. Trey Lance, our insider had it, our source had it. We knew it. We announced it. We did this. We did this whole thing. Went out there on a limb because a lot of people put a lot of money quickly on that.
Had to.
That became something very quickly like, hey, all right. A lot of things changed there on draft day. Mac Jones was locked in. Had to celebrate that. So then the same story, though, same day that got very big. Was an Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers situation that Adam Schefter had reported. And we have to report on this, obviously, because it's the MVP of the NFL. We're a pretty dominant NFL show. Aaron Rodgers comes on our show on a regular basis, friend of the show. We've got a chance to learn a lot about Aaron Rodgers, and I feel like kind of see a side of Aaron Rodgers that we've never seen before, because Aaron is always very guarded, I think, with most media members. So in turn, there's a chance that a smug asshole vibe could be portrayed, especially if he's not being nice to the people that are portraying information. Okay? So maybe the people that are portraying information about people have an interesting feel about the person. So the way they're naturally talking about them is in a fashion that may not be reality. And I think we've learned that here the last season, getting a chance to talk to the guy 17 times.
Yeah.
Answered every question.
For sure.
All of them.
Talked about everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of things we didn't bring up maybe on the spot immediately following a game, but in weeks future, we did ask about it. I feel like he was brutally honest. We learned a lot about that guy. So whenever this report came out day of, our immediate reaction was like, this is not Aaron putting his information out. We thought people that thought Aaron was putting his information out on draft day via Schefter were actual idiots. Like, did anybody read that article? We got attacked for saying we were blind. I was selective honesty was my trait of choice is what people were telling me. People were telling me that I had no more credibility whenever I spoke about things because my friendship with Aaron wouldn't let me get past knowing that he's a prima donna who dropped this information to steal the draft weekend. Mm-hmm. And I continue to say, no, that's just not the case. He has not told me, by the way. I do not want him to tell me, okay, because his only thing of talking was he was disappointed. This was publicly. So it's not like I'm going to be like, hey, you're disappointed. It's public. Why don't you give me some shit to say? Like, that's just not how I would like our relationship to go. And I don't think we have the conversation. But we have continued, said, there's no way Aaron put this information out. The entire narrative, Packers fans, all media people were like, this is Aaron. Then the Jerry Krause text messages started. Now they're like, oh, so Aaron, which is alleged, by the way, absolutely alleged. There is no clue if that's true. Bob McGinn, who I did not know existed, writer for The Athletic, obviously has a lot of juice because now Aaron Rodgers thinks he's Michael Jordan. Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers wants to steal the draft from these young kids. Aaron Rodgers wants all of the attention. That is what people are saying about Aaron. And we continue to stand in the foxhole, okay, and say that's just not the way this whole thing. We do not know for sure, but just being a human that read the article could say this was not Aaron. Then numerous other people that aren't maybe have as knowledgeable with Aaron as we are after talking for so they're like, this doesn't feel like it's Aaron, right? It's like, obviously this is not Aaron. Yeah. This morning, Adam Schefter, the man who wrote the article and teased the article on NFL Live on Thursday, April 29th, draft day, draft spectacular day, he was on OG Dan Patrick's show this morning, bombs all over the place. This is like a two-minute clip. Just go ahead and sit down and listen, and then immediately afterwards, if you were coming at me for slurping Raj, fucking take a hike, pal. Run this, please.
It was just about a week ago. A couple hours from now, where Adam Schefter came on SportsCenter and said basically that Aaron Rodgers wanted out of Green Bay. Walk me through that. Did you get a phone call or text?
You know, Dan, the funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packer story.
Yeah.
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. Mm. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game that the Green Bay Packers lost at home, did we not hear Aaron Rodgers after that game talk about his level of unhappiness, if you will, uncertainty for the future? Just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you, throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, and there was nothing that morning that came in that all of a sudden said to me,
Dan.
Yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Oh!
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Dan, there's not a source.
No, I know, but I know that now, but we're just finding this out right now.
Dan's basically like,
I said this. I said it on NFL Live. I said it on my podcast. I said it.
Okay.
I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe.
Okay, so Dan was like, I mean, we didn't know that. I mean, shout out to Dan, by the way, kind of processing. Oh, okay. You could tell there was a couple of things he said there where he was like, wait a minute, is this? Because I assume Dan Patrick had to cycle through, like, is this how breaking news works? Like, is this something they would do? Dan's probably like, yeah, probably. Schefter, one of ESPN's biggest days is the draft day, right? The draft is a massive day for ESPN. Probably a lot of eyes. Maybe that. Now, Schefter said just so happened to be draft day, which maybe that is the case. But it didn't come from Aaron. He didn't mean to steal the draft. And maybe it didn't come from the Packers, by the way, even though in his article he leads off with league and team sources
yes.
have told us. And maybe they just had to confirm whenever Schefter said, I'm going to write this article. So maybe the team said, yeah, there are current disputes going on. Who knows how they get around the legal mumbo jumbo with how they word everything. But all the people that were attacking Aaron Rodgers saying this is him trying to be a prima donna and all this shit, like, that was not the case at all. And maybe the Packers didn't do it. Now, why would the Packers want to do it? Because they would think, just like Schefter, this is going to get out inevitably. We would like to paint the narrative that we have tried everything here in the last couple months to get Aaron back, even though we maybe have pissed him off in the past, even though we're not going to admit that publicly, but we understand we have. So now we're trying to make it right or whatever. So maybe that's why they would want it out. But whatever the case, nobody was happy between Aaron and Green Bay, I assume, that this has become what it has become. And I assume Schefter knew what this was going to become as soon as he released it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's tough because, you know, it seems like at this point, like, do you think even, like, with that coming out, like, can that – it seems like the court of public opinion is already kind of swayed. And like,
it is,
I mean,
isn't it?
I mean, it kind of seems like that. And, like, and you know, being here, you're obviously not as – entrenched in it as it is, like, up there, but shit, you know, I mean, he was on the Jumbotron at the Brewers game the other night, and they booed him, like, that's wild. So, you hope that people can be like, okay, so it's not like he's coming out and trying to, you know, just force this, but, I mean, it seems like it is kind of already
isn't it crazy, though, that the Packers and Aaron, right, have not really come out and addressed this entire thing at all, and that's because there potentially is real heavy conversations happening behind closed doors right now, where if they were to come out and speak, it might be a very different outcome 1 week from now than it is right now. So why would they want to potentially get out and say anything?
Rush to
because
it.
To be honest, I was starting to think to myself, like, hey, Aaron, like, could you put something out?
Just some sort of something.
But then now, you know, and by the way, I always assume there's a reason, and I always assume there was some sort of action going on. But as I'm just eating these fucking rights and lefts from Packers fans telling me I'm a scumbag, basically, because I'm just blindly going to bat for a guy who's trying to ruin a franchise, especially after the free agent conversation.
Yeah.
And then, there was a full smear thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
And we're saying, and now Schefter's like, it's accumulation. It's been a long time coming, yeah. Which is kind of what AJ has been saying this entire time, is like, this has been a long time coming. So, you know, I feel like we're kind of new in this whole thing, but every once in a while when we talk, we could potentially be on the right side of things, especially things that are pretty important and kind of make sense whenever you look at it from a logical standpoint, as opposed to, oh, this is going to be a massive standpoint.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just a different kind of mindset, I guess.
Well, and the biggest thing for me was that it was his decision to release it on Thursday on draft night. So that whole narrative of, you know, Rodgers wants to steal the spotlight, like, that's complete bullshit.
Everything's complete bullshit that we've
heard. All of it.
Yep. Yeah.
It's insane.
Now, did he text somebody that is friends with Bob McGinn and called Gutekunst Jerry Krause? We're going to have to find out.
Yeah. It's possible.
But even that, like, people are taking that and saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers thinks he's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's and that has not been – do we have screenshots of it? Do you have
no.
– and by the way, screenshots of text messages now with the way the internet is. I mean, like, how do we know that's true? And if somebody's in a group text with him that he feels comfortable enough to say that type of thing about his boss – potentially,
yeah.
Let's assume that person would hopefully not just go.
That's not getting leaked
right to Bob McGinn.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of human factors in here that a lot of things that I think to myself, like, this doesn't add up. Like, this doesn't seem to make sense. And by the way, contract disputes and things that happen in business of the NFL, this shit happens, all right? It, whenever the new regime came in here at the Indianapolis Colts, there was a lot of people having conversations behind closed doors that were potentially getting a little bit contentious in this entire thing, too. So this is something that happens. I assume that Green Bay and Aaron had to know that at some point this might going to get out, because who knows? I mean, Schrags came out and said maybe an angry agent or maybe another team wanted to let this out. Whatever the case is, we just all sit and wait, I guess, to see how this all pans out and what bullshit has kind of shifted over into the ocean of post-draft cycle, because that feels like that's what we have to do all draft cycle is figure out what's real, what isn't real. This one, we have to figure this whole thing out as well again.
Yeah, and then this morning, John Kuhn, you know, former Packers fullback, who I think is fairly close with Rodgers, said that he has talked to him in, like, the last week, and that he does see there being a situation where there could be a resolution between the two. And I think the headline said, you know, that Rodgers wanted to be in Green Bay until he was 40. So who knows? Hopefully we'll get some clarity at some point here, but maybe we won't.
And to be honest, I did not want to talk about this today.
No.
It is exhausting.
I had gotten absolutely fed up with it. Like, actually, this morning, I'm like, all right, we're not doing it. We're not going to do it.
Can't
do it again. Until there's real shit, we're not going to talk about it. And then this comes out. It's like, well, this is real shit, but it's not real shit. So it's like, when can we get some real shit?
Yeah, by the way, he did just win the MVP, too. So he's not Michael Jordan, but he's the best fucking ball thrower in the NFL. So,
well, there's now, yeah. Oh, so he must think he's Michael Jordan. Well, is no. that what he? That's.
But he's the most valuable player.
No, it was a text message that allegedly happened, and now you're going to go. You can see why Aaron potentially hates a lot of people. Not that he does, but chooses not to talk to a lot of people, or potentially says, "I'm not doing anything with it." You could see because everything.
Oh yeah, people love taking pot shots.
Yeah, everything.
Love it.
It was just an opportunity here, yeah, and wild. Schefter. I wonder if Schefter knew that. This is going to happen.
Feels like he may have had an inkling that that could possibly happen.
He took a big sip out of that coffee right in the middle of his answer. With Dan. Dan Patrick, incredible information. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Dan.
OG over there. Talked to Paul, asked him if we could use the video. Good peoples. People go through many changes as we get older, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
For men, one of the less fortunate changes is that testosterone production begins to naturally decrease in the body. Did you know this, AJ?
I am aware.
For most men, it begins around the age of 30, and testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year.
My Whoa. God.
So if you live to 130, you ain't got shit left.
No, minus 30.
Well, if it starts around 30, this is one of those questions on a test where, you know, begins around 30. And the testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year. So does it start at zero or does it start at 30? That's the thing. This is where they can get you.
It's one of them damn word problems.
This is one of those problems where you're like, oh, wait a minute. Which, can I ask a follow-up? Anyways, I was good at those tests because I always viewed it as me versus the fucking teacher.
That's right.
Okay? I don't know what's going on, but this is me versus you. Fuck you. That's how I view it. That's why friends at Roman have a new supplement designed to support testosterone production. I did not know this. They formulated their own supplements with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. You hear this, AJ? Roman's testosterone supplement is for anyone who wants to support their own body's natural function. They formulated their own blend with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/USA. Their supplement contains vitamin D3,
what?
Zinc,
what?
Magnesium,
what?
Maca,
what?
And ashwagandha in a unique blend designed by healthcare professionals that you can't get anywhere else. To learn more about these incredible ingredients, visit GetRoman.com/USA. Roman is offering $15 off your first order and will deliver your supplements right to your door with free 2-day shipping. When you go to GetRoman.com/USA, get $15 off your first order plus free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman, GetRoman.com/USA. That's good news. Let's try that stuff.
Okay.
I've been looking for that type of stuff.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Now we know.
Hey, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, the president of the NFLPA, center for the Cleveland Browns, and Cornell graduate, ladies and gentlemen, J.C. Trapp. Yeah. Yeah. Woo, J.C., good to see you. How you doing, man?
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, okay. If we get a little bit longer of a sentence, you know, so we can find out if we can hear you or not, that'd be fantastic. How's your day going? You look amazing.
It's going good. Got out to the golf course this morning. Did not play well, which wasn't surprising. But was able to finish a nice round.
Okay. All right. Much better than last time. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Happy you're golfing. Okay. Good business can get done there. And you gave us a great answer about Cornell, your family going there, and you kind of trailed off at the end. But what we were talking about leading into that is you were almost prepared to be in the exact role that you're in right now as NFLPA president. Whenever you think about taking on that role, you have to know that you're going to piss people off, right? Like, is that just the understanding whenever that happens? Is there's going to be people that don't necessarily agree with you? And is it exactly how you thought it would potentially be whenever you thought you should go get this job?
Well, I think my elite, like my locker room, but like in every locker room. So you understand that there's a difference between labor's perspective and management's perspective. So it's going to be a little difficult sometimes when you're always looking out for the players and you're always looking out for their best interests. And that's not always in the best interests of the NFL or the teams. And it's something you have to quit. But it was something I studied, it's something I was passionate about in college. And I've enjoyed it so far.
Hey, what's been like one of the toughest things that you've realized since you took this position, dealing with the owners, and we know how giant and how much money it is that you're going back and forth trying to negotiate with? Like, is there anything that surprised you?
I try to keep an open mind. So, I mean, the conversations are always very contentious. Even this past year where we worked together really well, I mean, we had to in order to get through the season that we had with all the protocols and all the rules. But the conversations behind the scenes aren't just us in agreement, just talking about how great everything's going. I mean, those are difficult, contentious calls where we're both still looking at topics completely differently. I mean, we were adamant early on that we needed daily testing, and the NFL was adamant that they didn't. And in the end, we kept pushing for it and eventually got it. And I think that was one of the things. If we didn't have daily testing this year, I don't think we finished the season. I don't think we get even close.
Whenever you talk about those contentious calls behind the scenes, I found this very fascinating. So when I went to the rookie symposium, I was drafted pick 222, got an invite, shouldn't have been there though, but didn't listen either. Hindsight, I should have probably as well. So kind of an interesting situation, but I think it was one of DeMaurice Smith's first speeches as new NFLPA executive director or whatever his title is. And he gave this entire speech and he talked about the war chest leading up to the lockout and how they're, you know, you got to prepare and we're going to battle and all this thing. And I was like, you know, that's interesting to me because, you know, business, you would think like, hey, we got to get a deal done. We're good for each other. But instead, from what you said, every call is each side are just battling. Do you think there's ever going to be a time because of how much money is at stake and how both sides definitely need each other? Do you think there's ever going to be a time when it's not like that? Or is there just too many people involved now at this point for that to ever happen?
I just think every topic isn't as simple as it seems. There's always something under this that also is going on that makes it a little more contentious. But what we see is, you know, our strength comes from our players sticking together. And we've seen that a bunch in this past year. We saw it last year when we had over 400 players tweet out the hashtag we want to play with them demanding protections from COVID, from the NFL, for themselves and their teammates and their families. And that led to almost immediate concessions by the NFL for a lot of the things we were asking for. And that's what you find. You find when the players can stick together and understand that we're fighting for each other, it gives us more power. That's what's always been last year. We both had a mutual interest of getting through the season. The owners want to make money. We want to make sure we get paid. But we have two different ideas on how that can happen and the best way to go about it. And our priority is always going to be the player safety. So that's going to be our first thought. Their thought sometimes revolves a little bit more about saving costs. So those two always don't line up on what's the most frugal and then what's the most safe. So you have a lot of arguments about that.
Can you turn your phone sideways? I think that is potentially the cause for the echo. Yeah. Hey.
Here we go.
Hey, here we go.
Yeah.
Here
we're cooking with gas.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you already sound better. Wow. Yeah. But we got everything you said there. You just dropped out a couple times. But the overall point is there's two different ideas on how everything should go. Not everything is as simple as it seems. I understand that. So whenever you said that the players have to stick together, and when the players do that, it tends to work out well for everybody because the NFL then realizes, okay, we got it. Right now with the virtual OTAs, and the, you know, not thinking that the NFL in its facilities, which, by the way, I don't know the research, you've done that, I assume, aren't prepared maybe, and last year's virtual offseason was good. How the hell, and I assume this is something you had to talk about, how do you expect the rookies to do this? Because that is interesting. Like, how is that going to happen? And how do these rookies not potentially look immediately like assholes in this whole thing? And do you think the NFL is going to stand firm on this? Is this something you guys are potentially going to have it out about?
Yeah, I think to go back to kind of a quick history lesson, I try not to bore everybody.
No. Hey, this is good. We need this because we don't ever get to hear this. So we appreciate you.
So originally, the NFL wanted to make these OTAs mandatory. They wanted the entire offseason to be mandatory. And we negotiated, collectively bargained, to make sure they were voluntary. And what we've seen over the last decade is near 100% participation in the offseason, in the voluntary offseason program. And then COVID came around last year and nobody went in and football was fine and players were fine. They were healthier. And now guys look around and say, well, why am I volunteering my off time to show up to the facility when it just was proven I don't have to? And we surveyed the players to see kind of what do you want in an off season? And over 70% said we want to stay virtual. And that was interesting for us because we made sure to check years of service as well compared to that, because we wanted to see whether a young guy saying, no, let me go in, and it's just the older guys. And that wasn't the case. I think the most interesting statistic was guys with 2 years of service, 74%, one of the higher percentages, 74, said, no, we want virtual. We don't want to go back to the old model. And that was a group of players that had 1 year in the old model and 1 year of virtual. And they were like, no, the virtual is much better for us. We want to go with that. And it was 70% of the guys who just did virtual last year. This year, they're not saying, man, I missed too much. I want to go back. They were, I'm good with virtual. And that's our job as a union, is to fight for what our players want. And it's a voluntary program. So the league has gotten used to us all showing up and it being pseudo mandatory. And for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, they've had their players tell them no, and I'm not going. And it's ruffled some feathers and they're not happy about it. And this is where we're at now.
What was their reaction like when you first put that out, that you were suggesting an all virtual offseason? Were the owners, I would assume a lot of them were pretty upset. The coaches were the most upset for sure. They're the ones that want the players there.
Yeah, I mean, they feel, I guess, entitled to hold them, which they are. That was in the CBA. They're entitled to hold these offseason workouts. And then it's each individual player's choice whether to attend. And guys are getting together with their teams and having the discussions of what do we want to do as teams. And that's when you saw the, I think, 23 teams come out with statements saying, you know what, we're not going to participate. And we've seen the amount of players be drastically lower at team facilities now than in previous years. So, I mean, we've seen, you know, the memos they've sent out recently. You can tell they're not happy about it. They're frustrated. But again, it's the player's choice. This is our right. And the guys are making their choice.
That leads right to the next point, by the way. And by the way, I like getting the information that we are a democracy. We did send out a, hey, we need votes. We took into percentages of who's upset, who's not upset. The younger guys, the second year guys, might have said no to it because they don't want another crew of younger guys to take their jobs. But it doesn't matter what the motives are. You're getting a chance to experience both. If you're not good at football and you don't show up in shape, you're going to get cut anyway. So there's a lot of those things that kind of contradict each other if you really want to get into that game, which people will immediately upon hearing the head of the NFLPA talk about anything. So with that being said, though, the out of the facility, away from the team injuries have always been a part of an NFL contract. Like, I remember whenever I signed one, the person that I signed the contract alongside going through the contract was like, here's standard NFL stuff right here. And I think they're coming out now and saying it's paragraph 9 or something. I don't know if it's clause 9 or whatever it is. If you're not at the facility, the team doesn't have to cover you. This has just always been a cover your ass type situation. Now with the Denver Broncos situation and the fight for the virtual thing, it seems like the situation with the Achilles with Juwan James, and the virtual offseason thing with the contract clause that they've had in there, it seems like this is a real potential shit stir. I don't know if I'm right there, but this feels like this is a potential big conversation that's going to happen, because you always thought the teams would cover the cost. The Steelers did it with Ben Roethlisberger when he got in a motorcycle accident. It's happened numerous times for other guys. But right now, it sounds like the NFL is almost telling Denver, like, let's kind of weigh our options here. How do you see that whole thing panning out? And do you think that'll ever change with the contract lingo of as we go forward here?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Denver does, because as you both know, the amount of time in the offseason, a substantial amount of that guys spend away from the facility.
Oh, yeah.
So guys have always felt, you know we have to train almost year round to be ready to play. And guys have felt, well, if I'm working out to make myself better, which makes my team better, then they're going to look out for me. And it'll be interesting to see. I know the NFL is clearly pushing for them not to do that. But if that's the position they take, as a player, you'd have to sit back and say, okay, well, now, you know, for the 5 weeks that I'm off between the normal end of the mandatory minicamp and then the start of training camp, if they want to do this of, if I get hurt, they're not going to have my back, even though I'm trying to get better and make the team better, then now I've been disincentivized to train. And now I'm going to come in worse shape, which only hurts the clubs.
Jeez.
Because of it. So it's going to be interesting what the teams want to do, because I feel like the teams want the players to work out and be in great shape to make the team better. If they want to start holding this over people's heads, guys are going to have to make a financial decision of, well, in my normal off time, I shouldn't be working out as hard, so I don't risk getting hurt. Oh, man.
What are the owners worried about? Are they worried that there's going to be a lot of players that get hurt doing non-football activities and they just claim, like, hey, I was working out, that's why I tore my pec?
Or do they not care at all whenever they try to make it mandatory? They just did that as a negotiation piece, so whenever they inevitably give it up, it's like, oh, we changed the world. Like, what do you think is the real motive?
I think the NFL is upset that guys aren't going in. And this is kind of a low blow move to try to pressure guys to go back, holding this over guys' heads. But guys have known this for a while. Like you said, you knew it was in there. Guys know it's in there, and it's usually what's going on during the time from January whenever you lose and before April the OTA start. But the off season is the off season, and guys train away from the facility all the time. And this is kind of another pressure point where the NFL is trying to push guys back to the facility.
So AJ said this, and I think you might have not heard it because you were also given a great answer. This is a power thing, huh, at all mm-hmm. times?
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly about control. And the NFL wants to tell you when to do something, how to do it, where to do it, and why to do it. And the players now, and AJ, you know this, OTAs for years have been ratcheted up faster and faster, oh, yeah, where they've become full speed, full contact, non-padded practices.
Not me.
And they just beat guys down. And big guys, especially in these conversations with the teams, are like, I'm sick of going there, having some guy put his helmet in the middle of my shoulder blade for 9 weeks and then say, all right, head out for a month and come back for training camp. Thanks for showing up. Why am I doing that?
Well, and especially after last year with a ramp-up period where everybody basically said their bodies feel better. It's mm-hmm. actually – it feels smarter not to have that five-week break immediately upon going right back to pedal all the way down. I feel like a lot of, you know, logic is in every argument. It's just whether or not you're going to be able to get that pass is always the collective bargaining thing, which is why we're thankful that you're in there, because, I mean, you got to wake up every day and choose violence, basically. And
yeah.
I want to let you know I respect the hell out of that. Diggs, what do you have?
JC, a couple things here. Sorry, excuse me. As the president of the NFLPA and Browns Center, I just ask why you took away the Steelers' bye week last season. And then can we also get Myles Garrett tested for an alien so that we can protect other players on the field?
Smart. Are we doing potential alien tests across the NFL yet? Because Myles Garrett released a video last night that made me think he might have 45 sacks next year.
Yep.
That might happen. So good for you guys at Cleveland. But why the handling of the games and the moving of games and the bye week early in week two or week three, I think, or maybe week four for the Steelers without them even knowing it was a bye week. How did you guys get through all the shuffling of it? And did you have much say last year, or was it kind of the NFL was handling it? We're going to do this whole thing.
No, we had a say in it, and it was we would get our kind of results back league-wide around 10 a.m. every morning, and I know I would kind of be waiting at the phone at about that time because you'd be waiting to see what was going on around the league, whether we had positives, how many positives. And then it was about trying to figure out through the lens of how to keep everybody safe. And that was kind of the issue that I think a lot of fans and people in the public got confused about. Early on, we did not have the high-risk close contact policy. So what we were seeing was players would get sick, and as long as they were testing negative, they were allowed to come in the building. But they would eventually turn positive and start shedding virus, even though they tested negative the day before. So then we were getting these rolling positives day after day that was causing these postponements. So that's why we went to the high-risk close contact policy, where if you were deemed a high-risk close contact, which we used the contact tracers, we used interviews, we used video surveillance from the facility, and we looked at who you came in contact with, and if you were deemed a high-risk close contact, they would pull you out of the building because we knew most of the positive came within 5 days. So you'd be pulled out for 5 days, and that would cut the rolling positive.
How do you play football and do all this shit? A lot of NFLPA presidents, right? I think there is a potential chance that teams aren't as likely to maybe sign. Maybe that'll change with you and Andrew Berry and everything going on like that. But I think when you get put in this position where you are the one representing the business fight against the NFL, there's a chance you can kind of get a stigma around the league. And plus, you talk about these rolling positives that you're dealing with during the season. How do you manage it, though? Is it just, are you like Mark Wahlberg or The Rock? You like have, all right, I'm waking up at 4 a.m. I'm getting a prayer in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to golf nine holes. I'm going to work out. I'm going to read a script. I'm going to pray. I'm going to golf. I'm going to take my kids to school. I mean, is that what you have to do? How do you handle this all? Isn't that a lot? I mean, that's a lot, I feel like.
In the last year, I've learned more about epidemiology and viruses than I would ever imagine wanting to.
Yeah.
So last year was definitely a long year. And you had to learn a lot. I mean, sitting in, hearing from experts about what the best medical grade cleaner is for the facility wasn't always the most exciting phone calls to be on. But you had to dive so much into the weeds of everything that was going to go on at the facility and how you're going to keep the players safe. It was a lot of phone calls.
What's going to happen with the – and this is not just – I mean, I'm kind of putting you in a terrible spot here, and I apologize. You're president, though. You can fucking figure it out. It's happening in every single walk of life now at this point. The city of Pittsburgh said – I think the city of Pittsburgh came out, if I read the tweet headline right, which probably isn't accurate, but it kind of makes sense with the narrative. If 70% of citizens in Pittsburgh get the vaccine, there'll be no more mask mandates or anything like that. Allegedly, that's from a headline. Now, we talked to Mac Brown, who is the head coach at UNC. He said that they were told, like, if your team gets vaccinated, everything can go back to normal. If one person, two people don't, you can't. So it's like, okay, so it kind of, like, feels like you're going to have to be forced to be vaccinated. Now – knowing that the NFL is the greatest melting pot of melting pots in our country, where people from all backgrounds with all different mindsets come together for one common goal and, you know, really learn about each other, befriend, make family. I mean, it becomes something special. But with that, especially with the NFLPA, there's going to be a lot of differing viewpoints. That's just how it's going to go. With the vaccine thing, how is that getting handled? And what do you have to do? Because are you sending out, like, votes to the teams, to the players, for them to decide? Because this is going to become something, I think, that is a very, very, very hot topic as we roll back into the NFL going full force again.
Yeah, so the league is not going to mandate the vaccine. But there will be changes, like we've seen in other sports, to the protocols that guys have to follow based off if you're vaccinated or not. And that's just following the science of what a vaccinated individual is allowed to do or is immune from. What we've focused on is not telling guys what to do. It's been educating them and giving them resources to make their decision.
Okay.
Because like you said, I look at the NFL locker room as just a microcosm of regular society. And I think we go really how society goes. And we saw that with the virus itself. As society struggled with it, we struggled with it. And we followed their trends too. And we'll probably see the same thing with the vaccine. And we have a great medical director in Tom Mayer, who any player that has questions, we send him his contact information. He walks them through whatever they're worried about for them or their families. And that's been our focus, and just educating them. I know I've gotten vaccinated. I'm waiting for my last couple of weeks just to get fully vaccinated. I've got the second shot.
But I think that's going to be a slow process, and teams are also educating their players. But again, it's not going to be mandatory. The NFL has said that.
Is Woody Johnson coming out and saying, hey, we're kind of getting a bad rap with the Johnson one? Can the NFL maybe do that a little bit? It sounds like you did not do that because you got the two shot. Johnson's just the single one overhand, right? Yeah, but it's interesting. What do you have, Connor?
Yeah, JC, clearly you're a very, very smart person. When you're playing football, do you talk shit and use like massive words to confuse everybody, or are you kind of more of a quiet guy?
Oh, he has to be liked now, though.
Yeah,
I'm more of a quiet guy. I don't talk much during the game. There was more union smack talk on the field this year than I've heard before.
Hey, you signed shit deals. Yeah. That would be awesome to hear a D lineman. Oh, that would be amazing. Is that real?
Oh yeah.
Oh my! Well, and that leads me to my last question here. The narrative for a long time, when I was in the – before your presidency, okay, before your presidency, Mr. President, okay, but for a long time, the NFLPA's rep is one that, okay, this one kind of stinks compared to the other units. Obviously, it's large. It is very diverse, but it feels like in the biggest league on earth, there is more disgruntled people post-football and maybe even – during football than other unions. Why is that, you think? And how do you change it? And is it just going to be impossible to make everybody happy? And that's kind of just how you have to view it every single day.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to make everybody happy. I mean, that's easy to see. But the way I've kind of approached my first year is really focusing on the union is the players, and the strength comes from that. And too often, even players currently playing look and see the union as something not including them, of they're looking over top of them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what I've been trying to change a little bit or talk about is where the union. So if you're upset about a deal we signed, that's on us as players. We have to take more of an onus on demanding the things we want and getting the things we want. And that's with us sticking together and doing the things we're doing to fight for that stuff. And it's not, you know, passing the blame off to staff or anybody else. It's our job as players. It's our bodies. It's our contracts. It's our money. And we have to take onus on getting the best deals possible.
You're also taking on like 31 billionaires who have, you know, a team of lawyers, each of them.
Yep.
And their job is to maintain that billion status and try to get to trillion status.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that has to be a tough thing. I understand that. I had a relatively terrible experience with the NFLPA, but I'm excited to hear that it sounds like there's somebody in there who is like, hey, let's go ahead and try to do this thing for real. The NFLPA needs its first time in a long time. I've heard that. JC Treader, we appreciate the hell out of you, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, by the way, whenever shit happens, you guys need the PR. Hey, the NFL is out here feeding people information. Yeah. The NFLPA won't agree to this deal where they get $10 billion over the next, and everybody's like, oh, the NFLPA sounds like a bunch of, you know, like privileged assholes, basically. Like, you get to play the game and that whole thing. And you guys keep it all tight to the vest, which I appreciate. That's business. You got to do what you got to do. But, JC, you got to get in the PR game. You guys got to get in the PR game, I think, okay? Need to get in there.
Hey, when everything comes up, invite me on. I'll come on and we'll
there talk. There we go. There we go. Good ladies idea. And gentlemen, NFLPA president, Cleveland Browns center, has been a starter for every game in the last 4 years. Ladies and gentlemen, JC.
Yeah! Yeah!
The team's good, by the way. Congrats. Playoff win, you know.
Hell yeah.
The whole thing.
They're back.
We never get to talk about that, which is another thing that probably stinks for him as the NFLPA president's always talking about bullshit, not like his actual performance. They do good. They run the ball very well, by the way.
Yeah.
So he moves bodies. Cool guy. He's in battle every day, though. I don't know how the fuck he could do that and play in the NFL at the same time.
I mean, that's an absolute full-time gig he has on top of his full-time gig of being a starter in the NFL.
What do you say, 10 a.m. on Tuesdays? I'd be keeping an eye out for how the NFL did testing-wise, let alone also preparing for the Steelers potentially coming in. That's wild. Good for him, though. I think he knows that a lot of people have probably thought that the NFLPA, a lot of former players, a lot of people in the league, it's like, hey, we got to do better. I like the fact that it feels like he's going to try his best at least. I don't know if he's going to get it accomplished, but he's going to try his best, isn't he, AJ?
It's probably like being a politician a little bit. Like, you get in, you're like, oh, okay, it's impossible to get anything done here.
Oh, Gonzo told us, what, 2 years something's going
to
happen.
Yeah,
it's like, Gonzo, what?
Yeah.
Don't forget about this.
Man. Right on, oh, Gonzo. Job,
I like JC Treader. He's a big dude, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what he was talking when he was talking about OTAs and how they're turned into full time practices. Like that's how I remember JC. Like when he first got in the team and we're in OTAs and I go down to just go like kind of fit up in a little on a run play and the dude just headbutts me and he's so damn cock strong drives me like 10 yards down the field. I'm like, dude, we're in OTAs. What are you like? I'm trying to get off of him too. I'm trying to throw him off and he just has me locked up. Like that's how I remember him.
And then now he's like, these OTAs. Listen. They forced me to do it.
Sick.
Listen, I might have set the tone early, but this is what everybody does now. We're getting after it, all right? This is, and I like the fact that he said, AJ, you know this, because my OTAs were always the same speed as the regular season.
That's nice.
It's always just the same speed every single time. I went full go every time.
That's right.
AJ, you running another 40, man? Why don't we get that done?
I will not be running a 40. I can promise you that.
Why not?
Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, college football national champion, Super Bowl champion, and NFL Network pundit, ladies and gentlemen, AJ Hawk.
Yeah!
How you doing, dude?
Doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Oh, it is nice to have you with us here. We did see in the last hour you were on NFL Network trying to make that show an awesome one. We appreciate the competition. It makes us better. Iron sharpens iron. Thank you, AJ, for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good news for you is you did not see that because it has not aired yet. But thank you for the compliment. We saw.
AJ had to record something at 12:15. So my immediate response, which became, you know, quickly everybody else's as well, as soon as we really thought about it, is AJ was trying to be competition to the show.
What the hell is that?
AJ's going on the NFL Network at 12:15. What was it? What did you guys talk about? Did you talk about Aaron? And was it about the Schefter drop this morning on Dan Patrick? Or was it about something completely different?
Well, it was. It's actually airing in a few minutes, I think.
What are you doing? A media blitz? Look, he's on NFL Network. What do you got? ESPN? He did.
Good God.
Oh my God! Is it just going to be all AJ all the time? Is this Hawk time? No. I love this. Good. Hey, influencer.
Let's go, AJ.
Miller Lite. This is what Miller Lite paid for.
Is this the Instagram thing he was talking about?
You look at other shows as like competition, which they're not. You know that's not the case. I look at it as if I go on a show, I promote this show and you and the Bugle Boys and everybody in the back.
Son of a bitch.
I love Bugle. I don't view other shows as competition, by the way, but it is the old classic. It's why ESPN couldn't. It's me mocking, you know, the industry that we are currently in right now. But can you not go on shows before noon and after 3?
I mean, they have a point.
So the Schefter news this morning, AJ, and we said we weren't going to talk about this anymore unless, except for when you came on to join us to see if the insider to the insiders had any more inside information to make outside. AJ, I assume the Schefter news breaking this morning was pretty good for the Aaron Rodgers camp, who probably felt a bit blindsided by this entire thing. Have you heard any updated news and your thoughts on Dan Patrick, Adam Schefter's conversation this morning?
Sorry to tell you, I have no updated news.
Too
busy doing fucking hits.
Interviews, yeah.
Mickey Mouse.
But I feel like the Schefter news is a big deal, and right now Schefter's getting killed on the internet, isn't he? Why are people mad at Schefter?
Well, they're mad at Schefter because if I synced properly, they think that he dropped a massive news story on draft day with zero hard facts, is what they're saying. They're saying it was zero hard facts because he said it wasn't a news break, right? He said to Dan Patrick, it wasn't something that happened in the morning. It was an
accumulation.
Jesus. Accumulation, which is why I don't get any respect in any of these conversations. That makes sense. Sorry, Michael. I didn't mean that. I see your side now.
Just kidding. Fuck you.
Well, Connor, yeah, fuck you for real. But like, I can see why you did what you did and labeled me the way you did. But like the thought of Schefter saying that the information has come over time and once other people were potentially going to report it, he felt obligated to report it, just so happened to be there. I think a lot of people, and maybe that's normal in the insider world. Maybe that is how it always operates. But I think a lot of people, me included, by the way, learn some stuff about the insider game and how stories potentially break and lead to an entire news cycle that everybody's talking about. I think that's the biggest thing. And that's why I think a lot of people are potentially the most pissed. Like, you can't be doing that. Hey, you can't be doing that. That's basically what a lot of people are saying.
Well, aren't people saying just the timing of it, right? Like, why was it draft day? I know Schefter even said, like, it just happened to be draft day. If he would have done this, say, the Monday after the draft, would people still be upset?
Well, If he did, now business wise, draft day, massive day for ESPN. You know, massive. So if you have a bomb like that, you drop it the day of your biggest day, which I assume it is. I assume it's one of their biggest days.
Yeah.
That national championship probably is biggest day. There's probably some, maybe some Monday night. I think that's right at the top, the playoff game.
But yeah, I mean, it probably is.
I would assume the draft is their biggest day.
Yeah.
I would assume it because they're big college football too, right? So it's like it's the draft is the culmination of everything, the biggest league, their biggest thing, everything like that. Now, granted, I'm not saying NFL Network does. So him thinking, you know, our biggest day, my biggest news before anybody else goes, maybe that's the business side of it. But for somebody that isn't in the business, it's like, yeah, that might be the business, but it's kind of fucked up, isn't it? And, and if you do think business-wise, if he does drop that on Monday, I mean, that at least gives people shit to talk about. Because draft, I think they kind of buried a lot of conversations with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. So I don't know if any of it really makes any sense to me, you know? I don't know what the right way to do it is.
It doesn't. I would like to, like, is there any way to know how many stories break like this that are like accumulation all of a sudden? Hey, today's the day I'm going to drop all this stuff that I've been following, I've been hearing for the last 3 months.
You chose to break the Rodgers news on draft day. That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
Oh,
it was nothing that morning that came in that all of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out, you should report this. It was just an accumulation of information via Dan Patrick Show. And your point, I mentioned this in the first hour. You told me on a FaceTime a very interesting little, you know, thought shop thing. Schefter did that on Dan Patrick Show. That's fascinating. That is very, isn't it? I mean, that is something to think about too, because it was that thought about as well, potentially.
It doesn't seem like it in the moment when I watched the clip, and Schefter even says, I said this on NFL Live, I said this on my podcast, and like, did you must not have explained it as well as you did here with Dan.
Well, and maybe that is why he went on Dan Patrick, or maybe that's why they sent him on Dan Patrick to do it. It's like, hey, we need a new audience to hear this, not just our ESPN audience.
No, they would not send him on Dan Patrick to do that. They'd do one of their platforms.
Now, I want to let you know, they did say that they were reviewing their company policy on other platforms whenever we had the whole thing happen. You know, with them, they had to come out and say that. The head of the company had to speak about another sports media influencer, you know what I mean, and what was going on with that show. So,
they would have done it on ZJK for sure.
you think so?
Yeah.
Show still on, in the morning? I'm never up that early.
Zubin, J. Will, and Keyshawn?
Yeah.
I assume so.
By the way, I like J. Will, like Keyshawn. I believe I'd like Zubin, too.
Zubin's the man, but I believe he did have to step away, and I don't know if he's coming back to that show.
So is it just JK?
Well, that's on me.
As of right now, I believe so.
Probably a good show. I like Jay Will and Keyshawn a lot.
Zubin has diabetes. That's why he had to step away.
Okay, I hope he's okay.
No, that's what I mean. He had to step away. I wasn't saying anything else. I don't know what you're inferring right now or what this guy's inferring. I love Zubin.
I hope he gets better.
I need him on my dial in the morning.
Cumpy did the responsible thing of stepping in before.
I knew AJ
would have came in with something. You would have.
You don't dunk on Zubin.
No. That's, by the way, that's what it. I think potentially.
No. Yeah. I have gassed up Zubin Mahenty for at least.
You're the one
least,
that told me I'd be a fan of him.
Exactly. At least like 2 years now. I ain't taking any shots at Zubin.
Feels like it.
All right. That's all I'm saying about Zubin. He's the fucking man.
By the way, we could all react right now to make it appear as if you were taking a shot at him right there.
Yeah,
we really wanted to.
But you know.
We could have left you stranded out there.
But you know that I fucking love Zubin Mahenty.
You do love Zubin Mahenty.
Yes.
And you're the one who's told me, I think, numerous times, like, hey, we need Zubin on the show, I think you have said.
Have said it
and
many
times.
And it
was kind of the ESPN, you know, band thing during the time you saying that. But I do appreciate the fact that Gumpy was like, boys, watch the show for a long time, now a part of the show. This is not good. This is like like when somebody's all dressed up, you say, why are you dressed up? They're like, oh, it's a funeral. Fuck you. It's like, sorry. Yeah, okay. Sure. Like, one of the,
right.
We do appreciate that, Gumpy. That was a very good idea by you.
I love the show, too. Watch it every morning.
Zubin?
Yep.
It looks like Alan Han is sitting in.
I mean, how is that the way that name is pronounced? All right. Let's get to some other stuff. There's no way that's that guy's name.
And what is his real last name?
Han.
Han.
Alan Han.
Sound Han.
Han.
Yeah. Han?
Yeah. Han.
Han Solo.
So you're saying Don, Han.
Don, Don.
Han. Don, Don, Alan, Han. Is that his
good
name?
Good basketball player.
Yeah, great basketball player. Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public. No, I'm sorry. This is not a public service announcement.
Oh.
No. This is a pubic service Ooh. Announcement in the news you've been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the United States and Canada.
Yeah!
Listen, they had the 1.0, yep. Change game.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Proprietary technology for, you know, a nick-free manscaping shave. I actually saw Manscaped on Shark Tank just the other night. They ran a replay of this whole thing.
Okay.
With the pitch, the idea, Lori's involved, Cuban's involved. We got involved with the Lawnmower 1.0. We said, wow, this thing's unbelievable. Then the 2.0.
Ooh.
Then the 3.0. And then now, somehow, they've made the best version of something I didn't think could get any better. The Lawnmower 4.0. It's a whole new balls game.
Wow,
that's good. That thing got a Hemi in it.
Well, their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. What makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? New multi-function on-and-off switch can engage a travel lock.
Travel lock?
That's kidding me?
Because they turn on in your thing, and then it vibrates, and you get there, it's dead.
Yeah,
kicking around.
Now, although this thing does have an incredible charging station, it looks beautiful on your thing. That thing's a pain in the ass to do that.
Trim their beard.
It also has a 4K LED light on it. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard length sizes 1 through 4.
That's huge.
You can trim that mustache if you want to get rid of it.
I could.
Trim it.
Do it. No, get the other guards. Don't get rid of that mustache. If I had that mustache, I would never.
Okay.
Unless you want
shave an eyebrow.
Do the side of your face.
Do an eyebrow.
No, are you doing your mustache?
No. You kidding me?
Do an eyebrow. No way. You would not get cut if you did. And that is meant for your manscaping areas, but it also works beautifully around the face if you want to get maybe use the 4.0 for one thing and the 4.0 for another thing.
Yep, so good idea.
Get 20% off and free worldwide shipping by going to manscaped.com/pet. Wireless charging as well.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah, 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer.
Holy shit.
You hear that, AJ?
Make sure you go balls then face, Connor, when you're trimming.
Need two different ones. And you can do that with this incredible deal. You get 20% off and free worldwide shipping at manscaped.com/pet. 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com/pet. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
This thing's awesome.
It is.
It is unbelievable, yeah.
The light is so bright, too.
It looks like a trophy.
Yeah.
When you open it up, it's like, I'm going to go ahead and shave my title belt with this trophy right here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be nick-free technology, better than ever, wireless charging, and a lock so it doesn't stupid charge in the bag.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
AJ, you have one of these, and your face is always cleanly shaven. I assume you go face and then manscape, or do you have two?
I bought a lawnmower back in the day. I don't know what version it may be, 1 or 2. So, yeah.
Don't get caught left behind because the 4.0 is the best version.
Yeah. Starting to upgrade, AJ.
Hey, last night, did you see hockey was awesome?
Oh, man, I didn't see it live. I waited, and then I saw you post something on Twitter. I was like, I got to get back, and I went back and came and watched it. Yeah,
So Nick in That's Hockey Talk actually put out a tweet for what time the game was and where you can watch the game because the NHL was hard to find. So I was pumped because when I saw the tweet, I was like, at That's Hockey Talk, whenever I saw the tweet, I was like, okay, thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
I did forget that tonight's hockey is a hockey spectacular. Tonight is a trip back in time in hockey. Tonight, there is going to be brawls in both teams. No, it's going to happen. It lived up to the hype, AJ. It lived up to the hype. And let me tell you what. The Capitals, who had their best fighter out of the fights somehow because nobody would allow him to fight them and grasp him, and Chara, pretty pretty good clean sweep by the Capitals last night. They beat the fuck out of the Rangers. And it's kind of a shame because they're the reason the Rangers had to do this for their team. They literally had to do this for their teammate. And I assume there was at some moment some sort of hope that they would win their fights. But the Capitals, I think they potentially do practice fighting more than the other teams. It seemed very apparent last night, but mucho respect to the Rangers and to the Capitals for what they did last night and kick Tom Wilson out of the league.
No. I thought it was great to see. Like, I saw across my Twitter feed, like, a lot of hockey players, ex-hockey players, retired guys coming out like, oh, this is good to see that boys taking care of business out here. But does the NHL like this? I mean, they should, because it gives them the best ratings they could ever have, I would imagine.
I would assume Bettman is going to come out and say that he's against it or whatever. And maybe he won't say anything at all. But the ratings will get leaked. Yeah. You know, the rating, and they'll even leak the minute-by-minute ratings, which also are something that I learned about here in the past, like, year or so. They'll show those. I would assume after the sixth one, after Pierre Maguire and play-by-play,
I think it was Kenny Albert last. I could be wrong, but I think.
Kenny Albert on there. Once they basically said, like, well, we think it's about over. We think this is about all she wrote for this thing. And then there was I think a lot of people probably changed the channel. There was an incredible story. TJ Oshie scores a hat trick first game after his dad passed away. I mean, that was the rest of the night. Rangers got beat up, lost. TJ Oshie had a memorial game for his dad who passed away. And the Washington Capitals got to punch faces. I mean, it seems like a massive win for Washington. And the only thing that the Rangers have to show for it is a $250,000 fine because of what they said about the $5,000. That's a tough night to be a Rangers fan.
Rangers got respect, though. They got a lot of stick taps. A lot of stick taps on the internet.
And if Bettman didn't want this to happen, he would have suspended Wilson for a game, and this wouldn't have happened.
I agree.
Completely. Bettman let it happen.
Bettman, you think, wanted this to happen? Yeah. Like, hey, this is what hockey, we still got it if we
prime
have to.
Time game.
We still got a fastball if we need it. A lot of stick taps on the internet. Is that what you said, Trophy Cowboy? Is that a gift?
I saw a lot of stick tap emojis.
A lot of stick emojis.
Tell me the last time you saw a hockey video on Twitter with 1.8 million views.
Is that real?
Yep.
Wow.
Probably last time Sid won a cup.
If I had to guess. Yeah. Or maybe a video of Sidney Crosby like crushing watermelons with his thighs.
Yeah. Or Patty Kane.
Huh?
I was saying Patty Kane when he won.
Nah, he's out. McDavid potentially.
I think that Pasternak had a video that went huge, like 5 million views.
Nah, Pasternak.
Yeah, listen, Gumpy, we don't need the ricochet shot in there, all right? We get it.
What?
When's the last time you saw a hockey video? 1.8
Guys on
views.
That's hockey.
It was he's a good Canadian.
Night. It was a good night for hockey, dude. What
he's
are we
a Canadian.
Talking about?
Yes. Come on,
you
dude.
Know how much of a Canadian he is, though.
Oh! Yeah.
Least Canadian is what Nick just said.
What's
with the
way, boat?
Way
you
said that word. This is kind of like a citizenhood check he just did right there.
Hey, whoever wants to take me, I'll stay.
He knows nothing about Canada, though.
No. Hates it.
West Coast bias, dude.
Just different.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's West Coast. I think it's just like the potential area you live.
So I literally went to the shipyard every night for 12 hours home and watched sports during the day. And yeah, that's I didn't Canada pay ball. Much attention to anything else.
We had him over in Toronto. We asked him a question about Toronto. No clue.
I don't know. This place fucking stinks.
We asked him about Canada as a whole. No clue.
What are you asking me for, pal?
Ask him about hockey. You a big hockey fan? I know it, obviously.
Yes.
Not really, though. Kind of. It's like, all right, we got the least Canadian. Wouldn't want it any other way. I loved it, though, AJ. I did. A lot of hockey purists hate it, though. They get so mad.
But Tom Wilson, like, he's an interesting character. That dude, when he jumps in, gets in the fight, he was throwing heavy fist, man.
Heavy dude. He's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. His fight record as of this graphic that we're looking at that we will dive into deeper on the screen here is 53-27-3. So just quick math there. This dude has had 83 fights already. Think about how many fights. And they tried to slow down the fighting, by the way, a few years ago with rules changes to make it more fast and everything like that. Tom Wilson, great at hockey, too, by the way. Not just like bad hockey, but like great at hockey, handsome, 53-27-3, has a couple draws, I guess. Started his career 6-0 as soon as he got into the NHL, kind of staked his claim as a big dog on the ice.
Yep.
Zito, you made this graphic, I believe. How did we get the record? Who was the scorecard? Who were the judges? How did this whole thing
work? I was the judge. I was everything. I went to hockeyfights.com, and they have every video listed. And I watched every single one and saw which one he won and lost.
Is this real? You watch 83 fights of this
guy? Yeah, there's actually 20 fights I did not put on there because he was in the OHL, I believe, or no? Yeah, Ontario Hockey League. So he had 20 fights in there. I didn't watch those because
amateur, you're saying.
Yeah, that was his amateur career.
He
has 103 fights under his belt.
This guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Tom debate some of these losses? He may think he doesn't have 27 losses.
No, we actually watched, me and Pat watched one, was the against Chara.
Yeah, he fought Chara. And that one seemed to be a draw.
Yeah, but we said he won. About. We said he won, though.
Who said that?
We did, I thought.
No!
He said it was a draw!
No, I did not.
I did not.
Don't you be putting that on me.
I thought you said he went done.
No, I thought it was a draw. I thought it was a draw because
I took the initiative to put
Tom
the win.
Tom did catch one on him. Chara is from the Boston Bruins. Now he's a Capital. Yeah. He's 6'9". He's a guy who is a tough guy. Like, he's an actual tough guy. And he's bigger than everybody. And in hockey fighting, you grab the son of a bitch right by, like, their Bite collar traps. Here.
Yeah.
And you just grab it. And then you just jab, left-handed jabs. And then overhand rights. He's like when a child comes up and you hold their like forehead and they're running and they're slapping and he just does that to people. It's just like, and he likes fighting. He beats the fuck. Last night, nobody would fight him. I did not say that Tom Wilson beat him in a fight, but Tom Wilson held his ground.
Yeah,
Tom Wilson held
his
ground.
That's what we were saying.
Hey, he throws bombs, dude. And the guy last night, Smith, I forget his first name. What's his first
name?
Brendan Smith. I guess. Did he offer up to be the guy that fights Tom Wilson after what happened?
Sacrificial lamb.
Or was everybody? Yeah, he came at him, but I think like during the day, they made this decision.
Who's doing it?
You think it was one of those?
Yeah, I know Smitty, like I think I know Smitty. I think he in the locker room say, "Boys, I got this one."
He tried to get him early. Like he did come attack him, and Tom I think knew what was coming. He's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'm like 5 inches taller than you."
45. Bad fucking decision, buddy.
Bang! He just.
Hey, what's the? Do we know the? Is there a record, Pat, for the most fights a player has had in one game?
The Pittsburgh. I don't know about player in a game. And he left after that, by the way. The Capitals basically brought him in. Okay, let's do the hockey tradition here. We understand that we got to make up for what happened. He's gonna beat the fuck out of you, but you guys got to do what you got to do. And then they sent him out, so he wasn't there. So he like, I think the Penguins were involved in the most penalized game in the NHL history. I saw that tweeted out a couple times last night.
Potentially, I looked up who has the most fights in their NHL career, and it is Ty Domi with 339 fights.
He fucking left, bro.
Monster. Hockey was awesome back whenever anybody could get it. There, you had one guy on your team almost, and it was like a tradition. And I watched Gladiator the other night. It was on. I have not got caught by Gladiator in a long time. It's pretty delightful.
Hell of a movie. It's incredible. Awesome. Every time.
It's a flashbang.
It is pretty. It is. Well, what?
It catches you by surprise every time.
Okay. All right. I get you. Yeah. Flashbang.
Flashbang.
Right, got it. Actually.
It works.
Flashbang. Yeah. It does get you every single time. I got caught by the flashbang.
This particular time.
But whenever they're just leading them out, right, and then the opponents are, that's kind of what hockey used to be. Like, if a star player got a hit that everybody thought was kind of bullshit, the person that did the hit would like remain on the ice, and then all of a sudden somebody would sub, and all of a sudden the big dumb animal is coming in off of the bench, and it's like the whole place would stand. It was like a gladiator atmosphere. Gloves are automatically tossed down, and people just circle. The rest of the players just circle. These two guys hammer it out, stick taps. They go into the penalty box, whether they're flipping people off or whatever, and then it's out. That was awesome. And last night, it felt like there was a little bit of that.
The only thing we were missing from last night was a goalie fight.
Yep.
Yeah. If they would have met at center ice and start chucking them.
Golly!
Eddie the Eagle, man. Yeah. Belfour could throw hands in his day.
Who got Marc-Andre Fleury got into one, didn't he?
He's been in a tussle too. I don't know if he's been in a straight up fight, but he's definitely been in a.
He'll jack somebody right there.
Oh, really?
He'll cross.
We needed Doug Glatt last night. Is really who we needed.
Did you ever play hockey, AJ?
Tim Thomas.
No, I played like roller hockey as a kid, but no, nothing. Never real hockey.
Roller hockey? You have roller blades?
I did back in the day, yeah. Ooh.
How were you on those things? Over in Ohio, pretty flat, huh?
I got to be pretty good, I think, yeah. You know, Mighty Ducks had a big influence on me, the knuckle puck, all of that.
Nice. How about when they were going around the Mall of America?
Oh, yeah. That was sweet.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Down the escalator?
Me too.
I don't think anybody that wasn't alive in that time would ever fully understand how over rollerblades were. They were a big deal. They were a big... In Pittsburgh, we were using them, and that's fucking this or this at all times. We're diagonal going up these monster hills.
And for some reason, you got gravel over the road for no reason, and that'll come out.
That'll get you in road blades. But like 4 or 5 hours a day sometimes in those road blades.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Going to work.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Couldn't even step foot in them now, though. My entire leg would cramp.
Uh-huh.
Me, it's impossible.
Hey, didn't Diggs rollerblade to work a few times?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Boy, one time.
One time.
Yeah, one time.
Might have been twice.
He has the most
you might have had to get home.
Uncomfortable pair of skates ever.
Yeah, they weren't broken in. They were not broken in.
They're all the skates, though. I think at this point, all of them are uncomfortable. I think we were just used to the discomfort.
I could have took them to the skate shop where they mold them for you, but
take it to the skate shop, make the fucking mold.
I'd already spent way too much money on those things.
Let's go to some phone calls here. You did spend a lot of money on
those things. Are nice. They look cool.
You still got them here.
You could potentially sell them on that Whatnot app.
Oh,
that's where right. I'm skydiving. Ooh, some guy comes out and buys them off me. No,
sort of, I guess. Huh?
Kind of.
I think that was a commercial for
Whatnot.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Oh, was it the guy?
He's skydiving. He puts his stuff on Whatnot, and then some other guy shows up skydiving. He's like, "Did you just post this? I'll buy it."
And he tackles him.
It might be a different company.
It might have been a different company.
Sweet commercial.
It's a good commercial. Was that one take? I wonder. That's crazy.
Sounds like it.
That's a good company.
They crushed it.
They aren't just a online influencing.
No.
How the hell does Wi-Fi work up there?
Did you hear? I got all worked up first hour. I don't know if you heard it.
I saw some. So I saw you tweet last night something, and I went back and read it. And I'm like, okay, what is Pat mad about? I was trying to figure out, like, was there a big glaring thing that you were pissed at?
I don't like that he called me sports media influencer, right. and he calls everybody else a company. It's like,
I came back to that. I figured that out, and then I watched a little bit of you. Was it earlier in the show?
Yeah. I did not expect to get that.
It's good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's good, man. You got to let it out. You got to let it out sometimes.
Yeah, Michael McCarthy maybe didn't deserve that, but fuck him. You know.
Yep.
He probably didn't even know, by the way, that I would get
no idea.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that I think leads to the bigger problem. Let's get some phone calls.
Is this going
to
be an issue for Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy? Are you just going to associate now?
Well, by the way, when I first seen it, I thought Big Mike was the
whoa.
I was like, oh my God, Big Mike, dude, head coach. Fucking asshole. What's he? Why? He knows. He has to know how hard this is. The team, he has to respect the team around at least. You know what I mean? AJ, you're a part of that, even though you're trying to crash our show every single day with your internet and trying to go on other shows. But that really, I didn't like the disrespect to everybody. You know, it felt like it was a disrespectful shot across.
Well, I think if people just see it from the outside, whoever this guy is that wrote it, don't you think just because of the laid-back environment that you create, like how the boys are, you're young, you know, you obviously connect with a lot of young people and old people, but they don't, sometimes they don't take it serious. Don't you think they don't take people serious when they think
they're just... It's always the banana boys' fault.
It's your guys' fault. You're right, AJ. I didn't think about that. It is probably your guys' fault.
No. I'm saying... Like,
classic. You said it, not me. I
never said it was their fault. Classic. I never said it was their fault. I'm saying people, they get a weird, there's a weird perception to where they think you might not be working as hard as other people because it doesn't look the same. You're not wearing a tie. You're not wearing a suit every day.
You're wearing a hard hat.
All right.
This moment forward.
AJ.
Suit and ties only.
Suits and tie for going forward.
No, forever. I'm saying they are wrong. I'm saying they are wrong for thinking that because they're dumb. They don't look into what's going on, actually.
I can't tie.
Okay, you're trying to get on the ticker, AJ. This isn't the right way to do it.
Oh, do we have a ticker today?
Yep.
What is today's ticker, by the way? Can we get an update on today's ticker? Nice.
It has, like we said, it has now come out that Aaron Rodgers did not leak the information before the draft.
Good ticker. Okay. That's a good ticker.
A good little
and it also says... Hockey was awesome last night.
Oh,
hell yeah.
It was.
It was.
That's a good take.
It was. Woo!
Yeah! Just waiting for some info from AJ to put on there.
Anything else you want on the ticker over there, AJ?
No, I think I'm okay right now.
Not even your hit on NFL Network? That's Aaron later?
Yeah. What time are you on? We'll put it in the ticker for you.
Yeah. I do not know, but you are going to be upset to hear I'm going on, I think, Tiki and Tierney at 3:40.
You son of a bitch.
We're going to go to the three. We can't, actually. God damn it.
You got to go, right? Why aren't you in Tampa?
Yeah, we got to go. I wanted to run this thing to 3:39. You know what I mean? Just somehow at 3:30, I'll start some riveting conversation and just run that thing. And you do the, got to go. Like, you know what I mean? People have to do that. That would have been awesome. Tiki and Tierney, that's a good show, right? That's over there in New York.
Yeah, I assume that's where they record it still, even though they're not together, I don't think.
There's no way Axe lets you run that long up in that attic.
Dude. Yeah, what's Axel going to do? Are you going to be a part of the show too?
Beat the
he
shit
might
out
be.
Of you.
He may be just not video, but audio banging on the door.
What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them?
Yeah.
Are you going to? Is this like a Schefter situation where it's, you know, accruing information and then deciding where to drop?
Right.
Because it feels like with the shots you did take at the Bugle Boys.
Yeah.
And are you no saving?
Shots. Yeah, shots.
Yeah.
That's how it felt.
You did. It's okay, Jay. You did.
Do you think?
Rude boy.
Are you going to break news on that show? What is it going to be about? Is it going to be about you being the all-time leading tackler in Green Bay?
Ooh. They probably want to talk Ohio State football or something like how spring ball went. That's what I assume.
How was spring ball? Was it good?
Yep. Great.
Were you there?
Was I there? No, I saw a lot of the spring game, though. A lot of young talent that is really showcasing themselves.
You are the worst. What? That's going to be the worst interview of all time. Don't do that. You make our company look bad. You make our company look bad.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. Can't have our company look bad like that.
It's obviously not going to be about Ohio State, bud.
All right, I know. I'm just, if you break news on there, actually, please do so we can react to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Please do that.
Eric told me on Friday that he's coming back.
Hey, John. Left-handed. I'm going to give him the left-handed news.
Oh, sure. You heard he's been training lefty? Yeah. How about the John Kuhn stuff? Did you hear that? Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're in agreement with him?
Yeah, he was saying what he doesn't. He thinks there's a possibility they can find a way. Yeah.
Absolutely, there's a chance. And Ty, listen to the whole thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he just basically said that. Well, in the tweet itself, it said that like Rodgers could, you know, wanted to get to 40 in Green Bay, and then Kuhn said on the radio show that yeah, he thought he has talked to him this week, and obviously, you know, this has been stuff that he's seen throughout his career happen to other people and teammates, but he does see that there could be a resolution where both sides could be happy and he'd play in Green Bay next year.
Mike Florio is reporting about Schefter reporting. Do you agree with what he said there, by the way?
John Kuhn?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so, that's two absolutely.
So ticker, AJ Hawk agrees with John Kuhn. Mm-hmm. Kuhn.
Yeah.
K-U-U-U-U-U-H-N. That there's absolutely a chance that Aaron Rodgers is back with Green Bay.
Wow.
That's what you're saying?
That's not exactly how I meant it when I responded, but sure, run with it.
Well, you can't do this.
Yeah. Dude, you stayed today.
Yes. If you're asking me.
He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve that.
So I'm all fired up from FOS.
It was great. Hey, please keep it coming, Connor. I'm good. I'm a big boy. But when I first heard it, like if you asked me right now, if you said, hey, do you think there's a chance Aaron Rodgers could be back in Green Bay? I would say yes, absolutely. There's a chance.
What percentage?
Oh.
I don't deal in hypothetical percentages.
Hell yeah. But if you had
you would deal in hypotheticals.
In this scenario.
I don't like to that either.
So percentages is where you draw the line. What hypothetical percentages is where we cut it off right there?
What's your
percentages
truth?
Is one I do not deal with. Yeah.
What's your truth, AJ?
Let's go to
just speaking my truth, guys.
That is one of my favorite AJ Hawks, by the way.
The best.
Just well, that's their truth. That's his truth. That's your truth. Well, that's my truth. Yeah. It's amazing. Let's
AJ
go.
Hawk, Demi Moore.
Let's go to Michael. Is that who that's
Demi
from?
Lovato, by the way.
Demi Moore? This is a striptease, Tony Christ.
Great film.
Who's Demi
Other
Moore?
Demi.
She was married to Bruce Willis.
And Ashton
Kutcher.
Oh, Ashton. I remember Ashton did that.
Yeah.
She had a sweet haircut in Ghost.
What was it?
What's his name was molding the.
Was that 70s show?
Yeah. She was a Navy SEAL.
What?
Yeah, well,
Demi Moore's
G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane.
Okay.
Great film.
I was going to say.
God, I don't know when you guys are going character and human. You know what I mean?
You never seen Striptease?
That was character.
What year?
94.
No chance.
You don't know who Demi Moore is?
If you saw
it. Yeah, I watched it when I was 8.
No, I think
maybe 99. I might have understood the years.
I think you're right. Really?
The lady that Ashton started dating out of nowhere. I remember that because that 70s show, I think, was huge or whatever in that whole thing. I remember that.
He married her.
They got married?
Yeah.
Okay, so they get married, and then now he's back with that 70s show.
Right. Mila Kunis, yeah.
Hey, Ashton, AP Lusk, dude, pretty – there's a good businessman, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bears fan.
He's big philanthropy now, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think every big business does Bear become top. Big philanthropy because they feel the need to give back because they have so much, but also because it helps. you know, other stuff too.
I think it was a Hawkeye too.
He stopped his acting. I don't know if it's his choice or not, but he did.
Well, he started tweeting.
Yeah,
he became the Twitter guy there for a while.
Well, he did The Ranch.
Now he had to turn it over, remember?
Oh, yeah, The Ranch.
Spread is a good Ashton Kutcher movie, too.
He had to turn his Twitter feed over to his team.
Why?
I think a Joe Pa tweet he put out, and then he backed away, and then he said, like, I will be turning this over. I'm not responsible or something weird.
Nebraska!
So how high was he whenever they approached him and said, do you think you should still be on this thing or not? And he was like, no, you're right. I got to get out of here.
I'm done. He's a Hawks fan. He probably took a playful jab at Joe Pa after everything happened. What's wrong with that?
He wasn't the only one, but his team got him in a certain mindset say, hey, to get me the fuck out of here. Hey, Pittsburgh was pretty lethal with the Penn State news. Yeah,
it was split. There was Sharks and Jets situations happening in the streets of Pittsburgh.
Legit. A lot of Penn State people. Obviously, I think Eastern Pennsylvania is more known for Penn State people because it's more close to over there. A lot of Pittsburgh people go to Penn State as well. That's why the Pitt-Penn State rivalry for a long time was massive or whatever. And then when that whole Joe Paterno thing came down, you're talking about Jesus Christ to some people.
Yeah.
And then you're on the other side saying, hey, he didn't come back to life or whatever. You know, that's basically what the conversation was. It was like it felt like two religions. It felt like you were attacking a religion, which I think is what people said was the problem.
That's where idol worship will get you.
Hey.
Blood in the streets.
Idol worship. That's really nice right there. He had a statue. That guy.
That's right.
Yanked that sumbitch down.
Did he beat Nebraska that year?
Well, that's the thing. You know, his wife was wondering about their kids potentially, you know? And
he lost. Ooh.
And he said, I go Western Nebraska, Phil.
They lost that game, by the way.
What year? How many years straight did he play Nebraska at that point? 60?
Oh, yeah.
No, because they used to be in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So not 60. I did not know that.
But they were good back then.
35.
They might have changed it up. Never know how to watch film. Mm-hmm. Don't want to hear about that potentially happening. I need to watch
Not
film.
A game week. Not game now. Week.
This can wait till spring. Well, actually, summer, because we got spring ball.
We're going to the Sugar Bowl this year.
Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to this show. If you're listening right now at about, I don't know, whenever you're listening, we're probably on a plane.
Yeah.
Send us some tweets. Say, hey, what's up? Hopefully the Wi-Fi will be working, even though it has been very, very fickle. And we're back tomorrow from Tampa with a massive Friday show.
Huge show going into the weekend. Huge show leading in
SmackDown Friday night, Fox, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Throwback show.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
It's going to be good.
Very excited for that.
Be a friend, tell a friend, Ty. Please play some independent music and propel these people into a beautiful Thursday. We'll see you mañana.